Pop Spying 95,
San Diego Comic-Con 2011,
audio from the Torchwood panel.
Someone or something is behind it. Clearly, this is a case for Torchwood. I'm going to bring out the cast in just a second, but first, let's watch this exclusive, especially prepared for Comic-Con trailer for Miracle Day.
Every time you turn up, it always goes wrong. Where did you go, Chuck?
I'm sorry, but I don't know what the hell this is. But we're getting the same results from all over the world.
24 hours and almost died. What do you think of that?
The past 36 hours,
no one has died.
Not one person in the United States has died.
That's Miracle Day. That's what it's being called.
Torchwood?
Feeling more like freedom fighters.
This whole situation worldwide, that's exactly the kind of thing we investigate.
I'm extraditing this so-called Torchwood team to the United States of America.
We need to look at the bigger picture.
And who the hell were you in charge?
You remember Torchwood now, whether you like it or not.
I saw you get shot. I saw your body.
Want to see it again?
Oswald Danes faces his last moments on this earth.
So who is this guy?
He's a convicted murderer and pedophile, sentenced to death on Miracle Day.
You're searching for one thing. Execution. You get to live, and it's killing you.
I know for certain what has happened to the human race.
Tell me who's behind this.
This is part of a much larger design.
You're the only one left. The only true human. What did you get them so long ago?
Wanted to learn the secrets? Is this the best secret of all?
Out of all the shit we have seen, all the horror, Gene Roy's mercy, all of that, I loved it.
You better move them right on top of you.
You got all your staff killed.
They were my friends.
They're dead friends.
They're everywhere. They know everything.
Oh, God. They're ready for a war.
I warned you,
Gwen. Leave her alone.
Then try.
You covered my security for the entire mission.
This is the truth for the whole world to see.
Is sharp, sweet, and totally in over her head. Please give it up for Alexa Havens. Oswald Danes is a convicted child killer, Miracle Day survivor, and budding media celebrity. Please salute Mr. President Bill Pullman. Vampire Slayer, Star Galactica, extraordinaire, Jane Espenson. Went to the exhibition floor, you spent 3 hours there, and something like $2,000.
Yeah.
Were you in disguise?
I wasn't in disguise. The Comic-Con said I could only go on the floor if I wore a cap. I thought, well, first time I've been on the floor with just a cap on. I had two lovely security guards with me, and it, as if that wouldn't attract more attention to myself, you know what I mean? It was a nice little blue cap, but I did. I bought a load of t-shirts. I always buy my t-shirts at con. I also bought a couple of action figures that I'm really into. I also stopped off to see my friend Joe at Toner Dolls, because they did a really great rendition of Captain Jack and Gwen, and I picked up some other things from them. I'm like all of you. I am a fan of science fiction. I am a fan. I'm a nerd at heart, and I'm proud of it. So. The best thing I purchased last night? The first thing that comes to mind, the thing that I was most excited, two things. I'm going to give you two things. The new Captain America action figure. Which, by the way, is first night tonight, isn't it? It's released? Yeah. I also bought a set of 24. This is going back to my childhood. You remember those cups that they used to, glasses they gave you like at McDonald's and you'd buy it? Oh, brilliant. And they have like Batman on them. You know, I've got every superhero on all the cups, and I bought them and I've just shipped them home. Scott's gonna get this box and go, what the? Honey, do you want your cocktail out of Superman or Batman? Or do you feel like Wonder Woman tonight? What did you expect?
Which was a huge hit, aired a couple years ago. How confident were you that you would one day again get to put on that coat and come back as Captain Jack?
Well, you know, I myself am a confident person in my own life, but when we finished with Children of Earth, it was written in a way that we actually thought it wasn't going to come back. But I was very vocal about it in the UK, in speaking and saying that and it was my opinion, that, you know, it was nothing reflected on anybody else. I said they'd be stupid not to bring it back because it was so successful. Thank goodness for stars who stepped forward with Julian Russell going and, you know, flying the Torchwood flag, and with the collaboration with the BBC, here we are. So we kind of, you know, held our ground. And I knew what was going on behind the scenes because Russell and Julian kept Eve and I in the loop and what was going on. And we knew they were trying to move forward with it. We just wanted to be with the right people, the right team. And stars stepped up to the plate. They said to Julian Russell, we don't want you to change the feel of the show, we just want to make it bigger and better. And I think we've landed on our feet in a new home. I also think that it's something that's great that's happened for the show, because without them, we would not be here. So I thank the stars.
Since Children of Earth, you have appeared in a Welsh show. You recently did some voice work as Danish elf Meryl in the video game Dragon Age 2. Going back to Gwen and slipping into Gwen's leather jacket, how does that feel? How does that compare?
Oh, I just got to say, first of all, hello. Hello.
I love you, Eve.
So overwhelmed. There's so many people. It's fantastic. Anyway, back to the leathers. that's very nice. It's so easy to slip back into Cooper's leathers. They're always comfortable and very warm and sexy, and I enjoy it. Call me. Seriously, call me. Thanksgiving. Yeah, the leathers are good. I always love them. In fact, it's quite difficult to get me out of them at the end of the day. I kind of go home and, yeah, I'm still in them. She's just a wonderful character that somehow I find very difficult to let go. And to come back to her is just a dream.
Everyone on the panel who isn't John or Eve, raise your hand if you had seen Torchwood before you signed up. You're off there, babe. Hi. So he is either on the floor buying comic books or finding out whatever's going on with Underworld because she's his first love. So he's the one that introduced me to the world of Torchwood. And when it came about, he fully geeked out. And it was, I will serve you divorce papers if you don't take this job. So when it came about and I had watched it through him and just got sucked in into the world that's unlike anything I believe that we have on our schedule here in the U.S. So, thanks, babe.
So, Makai and Bill, what is wrong with you guys?
Well, you know, listen, I may not come when you call, but I'm always on time. To get into the Torchwood thing, but what happened was, how it actually came about for me was, it came across my desk. My agents gave it to me and my managers, and I met with Julie and Russell, and I fell in love with them, and then they gave me all of the third season of Children of Earth, and I watched all 5 episodes in one sitting, and I said, I have to be a part of this thing. This is going to be big, it's going to be epic, and I love what these guys already brought to the table, and I just became a big fan. So, and people might not notice, or even though I'm from Harlem, I'm a big nerd too.
And you're giving it right.
I didn't know I had to finish it.
Oh no, he worked for his role.
Oh. Little casting counseling.
Bill. Well, I know that we all are telling the real deal here. So I was a huge Torchwood fan right from the third episode. I flew to London by the end of the 4th episode, and I wore Captain Jack's coat outside the set. So I think when they were coming to cast this, I think Russell remembered that, and was very appreciative. So.
Alexa, how hard has it been for you to not tell your husband how this all turns out, since he is the diehard fan?
Eve and I are in the same boat. Her fiance, it's the same thing. They don't want to know. They want to experience at the same time as all of you. So he'd say, don't tell me, don't run it. So I would keep scripts away. But then I'd come home and like hair's a mess. And you know, you could tell there'd be like residual like blood on my hands or something. And he would, okay, so what, well, who's, is that Captain Jack's blood? What? He's immortal now, right? Just tell me that. So I kind of dangled a carrot, and I got a few more chores around the house that way. Maybe I'll tell you if you do the dishes. So he's experienced it. He was at the screening last night, those of you that joined us. That was our great night. Thanks for coming. So he was experiencing it in real time with all of you.
If you only got dishes done out of it, you need to come and talk to
right?
me. I love you, Justin.
Bill, how long did these guys wait before calling you Mr. President on set?
They did, but they stopped once we all started doing song and dance with John in between the takes. You know, they forget. It rubs off fast when you're doing showbiz songs. No. But I was really not used to this process of television, so you signed on not knowing how the thing is going to play out, not knowing who's going to be writing it, and you know, it was great to discover that I'd read the first scripts to sign on, and then realized that as it kept going, it got better and better and better, and the thing that I was really nervous about, that I wouldn't find a way to come to a close, actually, it did, and I think largely because of Jane and the team writers. Unbelievable.
Can you tell us how whatever is behind Miracle Day, and tell us how it compares to the 4, 5, 6, which I think is hard to top?
Yeah, everybody sort of has been asking me the question, you know, people who've just seen 1 and 2 or 1 and 2 and 3 are saying like, well, obviously this can't get as dark as 4, 5, 6, because like, what could possibly beat those stakes? This will be a lighter season. You can't get to the really deep, dark, under emotional places, and I just keep saying, oh, wait, episode 5? The thing I love about this show is that it can contain so many tones at once, and it can go from funny to incredibly dark, and sometimes it does it at the same time. And yeah, if you are feeling hungry for dark chocolate, and you have been getting milk chocolate, wait for episode 5.
I totally missed that.
It's like dark chocolate.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
It's dark and delicious.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Alright. They call me dark chocolate sometimes.
The flavors of Torchwood.
Russell couldn't be here, but John, can you tell us, are we going to find out where Captain Jack went at the end of Children of Earth?
You don't really know. And one of the things that is wonderful about Russell and the way his mind works, and as Jane knows with science fiction and herself, you don't always have to give the answers to what has happened right away. You can wait. And I think, you know, we may never find out that period between, you know, Children of Earth and now, and when they, you know, come back. And it's really not the be-all and end-all if we don't, but maybe that can be looked in at some time in another series. If it, you know, comes about, we can look back. That's where we, in Torchwood, I always use the analogy that that's how we time travel in Torchwood. We do it through memory. We do it through past histories. And we can possibly do that, but I don't think there's any intention to do that at the moment. So make up what you want. I just think that Jack had a great time with Alonzo.
Yes!
I don't know.
There is a very vocal number of Torchwood fans who miss Yonta. And soon, Jack will be very randy, and he will move on from Yato, or at least that's how it seems.
Soon he will be? He's always
like that. And we're going to see it. We're really going to see it. And how is that possible? How could Jack move on from Yato? I'm asking.
No, I know. Listen, we as a show love the fact that you are all passionate about the characters, and that's what makes us thrive when we go to work and make things more interesting. The one thing that we are is a drama, and in a drama you have to do things that unfortunately will upset and cause change. And it was, I have to say this on behalf, because even I get a lot of letters and mail, it wasn't our decision. It wasn't our fault. But in order to move the drama on, we had to do something drastic. We had to change. We had to cause a little bit of a commotion. He is still remembered and mentioned. And those of you who were at the preview last night, you know, for EP3, there is a mention. We always mention things in our past and history. But it was, as Russell said, it was the right
move that we made in order to, you know, shake things up a bit. And the fact that you got so upset and passionate about it was exactly the reaction that we hoped and wanted, because it means that you're committed to the characters and to the show. And, that's just how it happened and what's going to happen. But Jack's going to have another involvement. Yes. I can tell you, it's an absolutely fantastic story. It's episode seven.
Yes, but people are making an assumption that episode 7 is Jack moving on post-Bianca.
No.
It doesn't.
You have to figure that one out.
It doesn't have to be that.
But it's, you learn a lot about Jack and Gwen in that episode, and you also have the relationship. And one thing I'm exceptionally proud of, I know Eve is, I know Russell is, I know Jane, everybody who's involved. Russell had said to Eve and I that episode was a gift for, you know, what we've done in the history of Torchwood with, you know, the show in itself. And it was an exceptional episode to do. It was a lot of fun. We got to really dig deep into Gwen and Jack, and also we learned a lot about them. So it was, honestly, you're going to love that episode. You're going to love the whole thing, but that's a major, major, major one. Quite heavy and shocking.
Viewers will soon be able to hear Gwen's American accent. Spoiler! And I thought maybe E wanted to give us a sample of it.
Please don't go embarrassing me like that.
So you turned to me after we did that whole, like, all the dialogue, and we walked away. She turned to me and she goes, "That was rubbish. That was awful. Don't ever let me do that again." But she sounds really good. She really does. She sounds a bit Jersey Shore, but it's
that's just fine by me.
I do your Welsh accent.
Yeah. No, don't.
That's a perfect one, you know.
Oh, God.
My Welsh sucks, okay? I can admit that.
Mackay was given a bacon sandwich when we were in Wales, and he was like, "I know it's mean, but what is that? That's not bacon."
Bacon is weird. It's really cold, too. The bacon and the weather.
We finished filming a sequence which you've already seen, which was on the beach in episode 1. And, it's cold in Wales on Rosilli Beach. And Mackay, when we all arrived, was fine, everything, you know, he was in his big puffy coat and he's looking good. And Eve and I have got long underwear on, everything, because we're all prepared. And we do the whole sequence. No, I'm just saying that to make him feel better, because he had 3 pairs on. But at the end, at the end of the sequence, he's giving it all, "Yeah, you know, World War II, Torchwood." And then they go cut, and he was like that. "Where's the heater?"
Hey, I'm back. I'm a tropical person.
Mackay and John, your characters are going to be doing some love making this season. What can you tell us about that together?
I do have a love interest.
Yes. What can you tell us all about the joys of filming sex scenes?
Really upset that you have to ask that. Let me show you.
All right, well, that's funny. Well, you know, it seems very intimate when you're watching it on television, and usually when you're on the set, they try to make it as intimate, and they try to have a closed set usually, especially with Torchwood. We're pretty racy, so you will see some butt cheeks and things like that. So they try to make it as intimate.
There was a morning when I got up and, you know, Scott, my partner, and I was all bubbly, and I got up in the morning, and this will give you an idea of how we approach things. He said, well, what are you so excited about? I said, oh, we get to go drive a Range Rover down the beach, and we get to shoot helicopters, and we get to have action-packed fun today. And he's like, well, have a great day. And then a couple of days later, we're back in Los Angeles, and he says, what are you so bubbly about going to work? I get to go have sex with a 22-year-old. My world.
Well, it's
the best job in the world, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
Thank you, Jane.
The best, Jane. Best.
Bill, I know I'm not really supposed to like Oswald, but he's a complicated guy. How do you go about playing this guy who has done something very hideous, but maybe is in the middle of a transformation? Maybe.
Well, it's hard when really sometimes you really want to be doing Dreamgirls or something. I was reading, they gave me three scripts. I was halfway through the second script and I said, I don't need to read anymore. It's really good writing, and this character is off to a really, I can't imagine where it's going to go. So the chance to do a part that I never knew the ending to was kind of a thrill and a challenge to be present every day and alive with what potential my character has. And I think I realize that I should approach every part like that, like I don't know the ending, you know. And I think it was a really lucky thing to get a part as complicated as this part is.
Jane, you've worked with Joss Whedon, and now Russell Davies. Who is the biggest slave driver?
Yeah, Joss. Russell is wonderful to work for. Every day you're greeted with just a hug and hooray, and everything's marvelous and everything's good, and everything is greeted with huge amounts of praise, and then you get the exact same amount of notes you would from anyone else, but you don't mind going back into that script because you've got so many hoorays that it's all cool. Working for Joss was harder just because I was younger. And I was more scared. Joss and Ron and Russell are so different, so equally talented and visionary. And I think that fact that things have gotten easier for me is just that my confidence has gone up. I think that's it.
Alexa, Esther comes across Torchwood sort of in the same way Gwen does when the whole show first starts. What is ahead for Esther? What has she got going? Is she going to see any action?
I don't think she can reach Gwen's badass level, but it's an honor that she has that slight parallel. As far as just most of you obviously know the show, but there's many stateside that it's new to them, so kind of being the stateside tour guide and asking the questions that Gwen was asking for you guys as your first season journey. I think she has the most growth of anyone. I think the characters know who they are and they're secure and confident, and then here comes Esther and she's naive and she's innocent and fresh faced, but she's very intrigued by the entire team, and quickly she falls for the whole team and finds her place, and You see a big growth, both, you see a, this whole progress of her, both a mental, emotional progress, and then a, and then there's the physical journey that she takes as a team member. It's interesting to see her grow and just, and be a part of Torchwood.
John, yesterday Matt Smith said they were going to do a 50th anniversary of Dr. Crew, and he said you would be more than welcome to go back. Is that something you're interested in?
Having heard that, I don't think my answer really matters, but but I would, you know, I... Torchwood and Captain Jack were born from the mother ship, which I always call, and I reference that as being Doctor Who. I think it would be an interesting thing. I would love to do it. I mean, that to me is personally, as the actor, as John, who plays Captain Jack, I think it would be great, and I think it would be disappointing for the 50th anniversary to not have such a character like Jack make some kind of appearance in that anniversary show. Who knows if it will happen? I know Stephen, I've spoken to him about the possibility of coming back. Russell thinks it, you know, can be a nice idea. And if Matt, you know, was welcome to it because he is the doctor now, I think it would be great. I think there would be a different kind of dynamic there with Jack and the doctor. But yeah, so I'm totally up for it. I love playing Jack, and whether it would be with Torchwood or making an appearance on Doctor Who, it's the best... the best coat I could ever put on every morning, so I'm...
You guys shot quite a bit here in Los Angeles and in Venice. Eve, what was that experience like? Do you like LA? I know you've said if the show is renewed, you will relocate out here.
I'd love to, if I was not there. Yes, it would be a wonderful thing. My entire family thrived in LA and loved it. My God, you know, you've got hot weather, you're so lucky. You know, I lived in a cocoon until I was 15. You know, it's that cold. I love winds, but it was an experience that took me by surprise, actually. It's no secret that I wasn't really ever planning on coming to Los Angeles, and I needed to come with a great job, and I came with my best friend of all, who is Gwen Cooper, and the place rocked, and the people are amazing, and the weather's great, and In-N-Out Burger rocks my world. I love LA. Oh, God bless you. Thank you very much.
Call her.
Seriously. it was fantastic. And if we're very lucky enough to get another season out here, we'd be making it a more permanent fixture, because I've got a beautiful little girl, and I need to think about her education. And the dog is missing her blueberry facials. So we'll be back. My dog gets blueberry facials.
You know, like,
yep.
That's because your daughter smears blueberries all over her face.
Yeah.
Every time I've read an interview with you, you're talking about Rex, and you always say he's not arrogant. So how do you describe your character if not arrogant?
He's just misunderstood. Okay? Misunderstood. No, I think, you know, Rex is a very confident individual, and he has his... thank you, sir. I'm going to need that for this, you know. Thank you. My man.
Thank you.
But I think he's a strong character. I think in the beginning, you're gonna see sort of a character arc. I mean, you know, I don't think he's very confident in Torchwood. I don't think he really respects him in the beginning. He just thinks that his band of misfits, that, you know, what the hell do you do, really? And he's used to more structure. He's used to, you know, even with his CIA work and even having to be unorthodox. He thinks he knows certain things, and when this miracle happens, it kind of rocks his world a little bit. And he is abrasive. But you will see an arc for the character. You will see him really delve into Torchwood and be a part of that whole team and really be gung-ho about us being successful in our mission of figuring out what the hell is going on in the world.
There's one particular scene that Rex has with somebody. I don't want to give it away, but it just gives you so much insight to why he is the way he is.
Right,
and suddenly it just flips, and suddenly you would just go, oh my God, I feel so sorry for this guy.
Right,
that's integral to the story. You find that out yourselves, and it's brilliant. It flips over, it's great.
The thing I love is Jack never really does. Jack just always looks at him as, I mean, as time goes on, he changes his mind a little bit, but to begin with, he just sees him as being a big, pompous idiot. That's how he looks at him. And the challenging that goes on, it's very interesting to see the dynamic as it changes through the course of the episodes, because there comes a certain point where Jack actually goes, yeah, okay, you're making sense. Let's do, yeah, as to coin a phrase, let's do it.
Let's do this.
I'm going to ask one more question, and then I'm going to let fans ask their questions. So if you guys could go ahead and begin lining up for that, that would be great. In the trailer that we saw a little bit from Jack's past. I'm wondering, Jane, is there anything you might be able to tease for the rest of the season for us?
Look for a little more flexibility with the timeline. Look for a little romance. Look for a lot more darkness. Look for some losses. Look for big implications. This is a show that's not just about characters. It's about ideas in a way that sci-fi gets to legitimately have real ideas shaping the show. There's a reason to tell the story. And so, you know, think of the big picture as you're watching this. Is this what our world would look like? And what does that mean about us as a species and the world, you know, going forward? Like, let your mind really go with it. That was the most fun we had in the writer's room, was 2 weeks of just sitting there going like, well, what would happen to wars? And what would happen to families? And what would happen to different economic things? There's a lot there. Like, you can, don't be afraid to think hard about what the show is about, because we thought hard about it.
Look for some brilliant writing from that lady down there. That's what you gotta look for.
Hello. Muppet Moffat and I were just wondering if there's been any indication by Stars yet that you're going to be renewed for another season?
There's been no word yet, and I'm sure that we will run our course of our 10 episodes, and we all hope, because as you all know, we're passionate about the show, we love what we do, and we hope that Stars are as passionate. And the more you watch it, the more chance we have of coming back. So that's the most important thing. But we would love to come back. We would, you know, we all would love to be doing Torchwood for another 5 seasons, 6 seasons.
Thank you.
Hi. You guys are obviously a very fun cast. Have you ever pulled any pranks on set?
What are you looking at me for?
What was going on just backstage? John was pumping everybody up, and he says, "Okay, Pullman, get your balls out." And I went, "No, we aren't going there." So there's a lot of things we don't do, believe it or not.
You gotta watch out for John.
We draw a line.
Yeah, no, we do have fun, we enjoy ourselves, but we do get the work done. That's the most important thing. And one thing that I'm speaking for myself, even, you know, from being here since the beginning, we always wanted to make everybody who comes into the show like they're coming into a family. And that's the way, and I see you guys as part of our family. We all see you as part of that family. So, and Mackay said something to me yesterday just in passing, and it really kind of hit home for me, and I never thought about it this way. He said, You know, when I came on board with Torchwood, it was like jumping on a ride. You have to go with the show. You can't stand back and let it happen. You gotta move with it. And the fact that all of you guys, you know, Bill, Alexa, Mackay, and everybody involved, you all jumped on board with this, and it's been fantastic. So we have fun, we do. A lot of the things that we do, you'll never ever see. Oh.
That we jump on board and we are part of the team is because of you guys. And this, what you're seeing with these two, is genuinely who these two are. The kindest, most fun, just genuine dream cast members. I say that because I am absolutely a pup. Get back to LA. But it's because of you guys welcoming us. And you guys for welcoming us newbies. Thank you.
Absolutely. I haven't felt a family situation like this since I was on the show ER. And so, just welcoming me with open arms and allowing me to have fun and be a part of the family and be a part of the whole thing. And it's wonderful. So we're having a good time.
I found out you were going to be on Torchwood. You made my day. My question is, how has it affected your acting craft going from episode to a theme series?
Well, I think there was a side of the story that I was finding is my favorite kind of science fiction, you know, which is it actually doesn't spend a lot of time with the weird, gory part, but it's actually there's a big thriller mechanism in this story, and there's a lot of sense of what people are capable of and humans and how they betray each other and or are loyal to each other in times of crisis. And I think, to have played a character who was essentially reborn by accident or whatever it was, and looking to find some new journey, you know, and who he was going to become. That there was a lot of weird parallels with Independence Day, and so. And I think the spoiler stuff I'm terrible at. I tell everything, but no. Episode 5 has some incredibly interesting, it's like the doppelganger, like the reverse side of some of the other movies that I've done, which has really been kind of great, because it's got such scale and such epic ambition and everything that, it's like Independence Day, and that it has, it talks about a global story, it talks about how people from every corner of the earth can either fight each other or join together. And I felt that not only just in the storytelling, but we went to Wales to screen this movie. Eve and I got to go, and then it was like they were fed crack cocaine or something. They were so, and I felt really glad. Here's all the, here's across the waters, Americans, Welsh, Brits, everybody, and a lot of different ethnicities are in this story, and it has that kind of scale like Independence Day. So.
Have you been in my closet?
Have you been in mine? First of all, welcome to San Diego. As a Canadian, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. we have something in common. This question is for you. I do wake up with the coolest jacket, coolest coat every morning. I'm with a company called Abbeyshot, and we asked our fans, we make the official Captain Jack coat, which I have on.
Do you?
We asked our fans one question.
Where's mine?
We'll talk.
Thank you.
But we asked our fans, you know, what would you like us to ask John? And one guy came in with the question, what is your favorite detail about the coat? And since you go through so much and since the coat goes through much, is the coat also immortal?
Well, I'll start with the latter part of that question. I have a closet full of coats. We have so many made over the course of the series at the beginning, and they're all labeled. We have one which is called the Hero Coat, which is slightly, that's the only one that's used in a hero shot. For instance, when I'm walking or we're with the team and I'm standing, and it's the one that looks sharp always. It's never used for anything else. Then we have one that's when we're doing running and all that kind of stuff that actually flows a little bit better. Hey, everybody's got to have a cape. And then we have others that we're allowed to destroy. And those are ones that get, you know, blood and wounds and everything put onto them. My favorite detail of the coat is actually something that we discussed very early on in the beginnings of Captain Jack, are the epaulets. Yes, the epaulets, for those of you who know the military, it's actually, it's not an RAF symbol on there. It's because, you know, I don't know if you know that Jack is, you know, in the history we look at, that he helped the RAF, the Royal Air Force. But that's actually something to do, now are you ready for this? It's something to do between another faction of the army and the, don't get me to go into it. But the epaulets, there's, how many do you have on yours? Can I see? Yeah, how many on the epaulets? You've got four. Yeah, you should actually only have three, but the fourth one, there's a reason for the fourth, and if you can figure it out, then you're... Why is it... No, that wasn't meant to be right. No, but yeah, that's my favorite. But the other little thing, favorite about the costume, is I wear the cufflinks. They're actual airplanes that I wear. And it's all that detail that we all talked about, you know, when we first created Jack and brought that look, you know, it was that, you know, down to that detail, down to the boots, everything. I just love the outfit. It's a great thing to wear on a Friday night. Thank you.
Wondering if you had any really funny stories from set or some crazy shenanigans that happened when you were like, what?
Why do you always look at me, everybody?
I wonder why we all look at the barman when this shenanigans is going on. Say, but the one where you hit my shower for nearly 40 minutes.
Oh, that was brilliant. Mackay and Alexa and Bill are all filming, doing this big sequence, which is episode 10, which I'm not telling you about, but is absolutely phenomenal, right? And Eve has come back to her trailer, and I've been waiting to go on set, and I've been, you know, sitting watching television or something, and I think, I'm going to scare the crap out of Eve. So I go into her trailer, and then I go and hide in this cubicle shower, and I'm sitting down, hunched out in the shower, like this. Seriously, I think she's on her way. 45 minutes I sat there. 45 minutes I sat in the shower, looked like I was pooping. All of a sudden I hear going, oh yes, darling, lovely, lovely. Like she's on her way, fine, quiet. And I wait until she comes in. She walks in. I literally threw myself out of the shower. Ha! She went, ah! She went, you... Oh, I can't say that.
You silly thing.
You silly thing. But it was the B word. She shouted it. And then she went, I've actually peed myself. A big bottle of water when you walk in.
I did. I had a glass of water in my hand. It went all over with the fright, the sheer fright. I did not pee myself. Just a little bit. I just a little bit. I almost projected and vomited with fright. It was horrific. John and I have never, ever, touch wood, Torchwood. We've never stopped.
She's like my sister.
Yeah. Ever had a crossword. We have too much fun, but that was the first moment where I thought, I'm gonna knock you out. I thought Gwen Cooper was really gonna go, and then I went, oh no, it's Ginny, it's John. Don't do it again, John. I knew he was in the shower for 40 minutes. I knew he was there.
You're welcome.
The button lady.
Hi. We did a group viewing in the San Fernando Valley of the first episode, and we've been doing it together every episode. And the unbelievability factor was beyond the fact that Mackay was grabbing whatever pills he could. was Alexa, your shoes. No one believed that anyone would go to work in those shoes. Whose decision was that?
Or much less run and do a fight, jump through the window, up the stairs. Thank you. We did the fitting, and they're like, and here are your shoes. And I was like, oh, you mean my stilts? Okay, that makes a lot of sense with the fight scene I have to do. Yes, the director had to give me a foot massage, and I may have rolled my ankle a couple times, but I got to end up in Captain Jack's arms. So, but that's our world we live in. Like you said, the coat that flows, the 6-inch heels, exactly. I would be rocking ballet flats. Even today, I put heels on. I was like, well, Esther does it. I guess I'll step up. But I'm a flip-flop girl. I feel you. I know. I feel you. And I voiced it, but I guess it looked bad.
But you look damn fine.
Good. And there's your motto. If you want to end up in Captain Jack's arms, put on a pair of Betty Cup pumps. Anyway, sorry.
Yes.
I almost said that. I apologize. No.
My question is for John.
Yes.
And I would like to know, when you were first cast as Jack in Doctor Who, did you have any inkling that it would lead up to this? And what did that feel like when it happened?
Well, first of all, just go back to that camera shot. You there. You're funny. Who are you? So, what was the young lady? The question that I had no idea when I was cast as Captain Jack, I thought it was going to be 4 or 5 episodes in Doctor Who. I had no clue. I thought that was it, and then Russell and Julie came to me and said, we want to bring you back, we want to do more with Jack in Doctor Who. I thought a gift was handed me to me on a plate. It was a dream of mine as a kid to be one of the Doctor's assistants, and I got, you know, I consider Jack to be one of his assistants, maybe not who's always with them. But it was a dream job, and then when they said, we want to give you a spin-off show, and they had talked to Eve about, you know, bringing, because Eve had also been in Doctor Who, playing Gwyneth, who was taken away from with the Gelf. It was like handing us our dream jobs on a platter. We never ever thought that one day we'd be sitting in here with people like yourselves. And I have to say, and I know I speak for everybody, it's because of you guys that our show is a success, and that we're living the dreams that and the lives that we have. And I want to say thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Eve, I wanted to say your smile melts my heart. And John, your smile affects a completely different part of my body.
Is this on? What do you got?
This
doesn't happen a lot. I need to hear that all again. So from the beginning, right?
My question is, I would like to know if we're going to hear Captain Jack sing in the new Torchwood, and if not, can we hear something now?
They did a musical episode and other shows, and I really don't think that we will approach that. Mackay can sing.
No, I can't.
Exactly. Eve can sing.
I throw the shapes. He sings.
I don't think the show lends to it, really. It would be, maybe a stage musical at one point, but I'll probably be too old, so, I don't know what you want me to sing something.
Give us a song.
I can't think when I'm on the spot like this. I'm stuck. I can't think of anything. No, I'm not singing Springtime for Hitler. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Everybody, just tomorrow. Please obey the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with that rain. Anyway, listen, they're giving me the wrap up sign. For accepting us as our new international Torchwood. Thank you again to Stars. If any of you also want, you can go on to iTunes and you can download a new app, which is it's a motion comic that Eve and I were involved in, that Jane also wrote. If you do that now, we overload iTunes. It would be phenomenal. I think everyone will want to say, but I think I speak on behalf of everybody. Thank you so much for your commitment to our show. Thank you for making a success.